Hello, everybody. My name is Sebastian, Destination Eurovision Poland. I have great time and great fun because this lady, who you know probably very well from YouTube, I believe that you are watching this channel. If you are not, you need to do this right now after this interview. So, the honest vocal coach, Georgina Hill Brown, is with me to talk about Eurovision and lots of great stuff. Hello, great to see you.
Great to see you too. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure and thank you so much that you join me because I have it in mind for at least a few months. So it's really good to jump in and talk with you. Georgina, I would like to start with a very smooth question about your journey with music because, as I learned from your website, which looks very cool, great job,
Thank you.
you start singing when you was only 16 years old. So it's pretty young age. Please tell me, from today's point of view, you believe that this was and still is your biggest passion of your life? And or as a kid, you have few hobbies or ideas what to do with your life and just some way somehow choose the music. How it works for you?
Well, when I was going through high school, I didn't really have an idea of what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. It was only at the last year of high school, when I was 15, that a production company came into my school to put on a small production, and they needed someone to help backstage, just tell people where to go, because they didn't know the school. I knew the school, so I knew where everything was. So they just asked me if I would help backstage. They gave me a headset and said, "Right, you're going to run backstage." And I was like, so I'd never done anything like that before. I had no idea. I was brought up on record collections of my parents, musical theatre, Evita, Jesus Christ Superstar. With my dad, it was very much the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. So
Wow.
I was sort of brought up on music, but I wasn't a singer, I wasn't a performer. I used to just sing in my bedroom with the records. I didn't even know I could sing at that point. I just enjoyed the music. I did dance though. I was a dancer from a young age. I started dance lessons when I was about four, and they ran until I was about age 19. But it was only when this happened in my school that it got me excited and thought, "Oh, this is quite good actually. I might do this." So up until that point, I hadn't taken any of the studies at school. I hadn't done drama, music, any of that. So it kind of changed my perspective, and then I went to performing arts college from there. It was quite a quick decision, auditioned and went and did it. So yeah, and age 16 is actually quite late for most singers to start training. Normally, I mean, the people I work with start from age five. I work with children, so I was coming quite late. But I think because I'd spent so many years listening to my parents' records, I must have developed some technique, or I was just picking up what I heard, and then giving it a try. So yeah, I started official singing lessons when I was 16.
Wow, it's really impressive because you are starting to singing, you are dancing, so you are the person of multi talents, as I suppose we can say it. It's no sugar leaking. It's just simply true that you are a very artistic person, and it's phenomenal. But please tell me, some way somehow you start being a huge part of other people's music education, as you said on the website. Right now you have 17 years knowledge of being a voice teacher. And you have very long and successful episodes incorporating with MTV, BBC, and the list going on and on. How it become a thing? Can you share with us a story about taking this path?
Yeah, well, after I studied in college, I moved from one part of the UK to another to carry on my studies. I was offered a job in a theatre working backstage. So I studied performance in the day and did theatre in the night time, and sort of went on from there. I did that for a number of years. But then things changed for me when I had a family, got married, had kids, and as a performer, you're constantly on the road and touring, and you're never at home, and it was very difficult to have a family. So that kind of changed my outlook a little bit. I still loved performing, but I didn't want to be one of those parents who drags their children everywhere. They're always
Yeah.
in a bus from one city to the next. I wanted to give them a base. So I stopped all performance and everything for about a year and a half while my children were young. And I struggled getting back to work. I don't mind saying it. I did, because once you get used to looking after a child and being their everything, to then go back to work and leave someone else to look after them, I found that really, really hard. So I started to, I mean, what started it off was a neighbour of mine had heard me singing while I was changing one of the nappies. I don't know if you call them nappies, but changing one of the diapers. And she heard me singing and said, I didn't know that you could sing. And I said, oh yeah, I'm trained in all these things. And she said, well, will you help me? So I started helping her with her singing, because she was an actress, not a singer. And she wanted to be able to sing more. So I started to help her, and she thought it was fabulous. So she told another friend, who then I started to help. And that sort of spiraled from there. I went back to college and did a sort of part-time year on how to learn to teach. So I knew more of the technicalities of actual teaching. And that was it. It just kicked everything off. I ran Vocal Tutor, which was a quite a large singing tuition business where I had teachers all over the UK. They would use my books and resources and website and things. I did that for a long time, but it got to a point where all I was doing was admin, doing the invoices and the website, and sat at the computer every day, not doing the good stuff anymore. So I started to gig again. I went and did weddings and funerals and pubs and clubs and did that kind of thing. So started to gig. I did that for quite a while, and I sold that business and then started my current studio that I have now, which means I can do so much. I love my job because it's not just singing teaching, it's videos and it's mentoring people and recording, and I get to travel a little bit, which I like, and my children have grown up now, so it makes everything that little bit easier. But yeah, it was one of those things where a neighbour heard me singing and asked me for some help, and I thought, oh, this is good. I love the idea of not being the one on stage, the one that was in front of the camera. I was still getting some recognition, but I didn't have to go through all the nerves. I had secondary nerves, different nerves. And I just love seeing people develop now. That's my thing. I'm not bothered about being a famous singer. I just want to see others do well.
Perfect story. And how it's clear and how cute it is that sometimes a little story just can change our life forever, isn't it? Like, yeah. With you. This sounds really, really cool and positive, that sometimes a little piece can just make everything look completely different. And speaking of your innovative mind, because I can clearly call it that way, as you said, from 2003, you were a founder of Vocal Tutor, So the UK's largest vocal and singing tuition network. But still, you also opened the new Foundry Studios from 2013.
Yeah.
Great ideas. And please tell me, are you proud after these many, many years from both of these projects? And do you have some ideas, or do you have some way in your mind how it's gonna work? And right now, when you are looking at it after many, many years, you are saying, oh, this is what I imagined, I would love to see it goes a few years ago.
Oh, well, when I ran Vocal Tutor, that was it was tough, because I was not only teaching, I was looking after teachers who were teaching others. So there was a lot of pressure, making enough money to run the business. So I don't think I ever stopped to enjoy it. Although when I got to do some TV work, that was great. When that comes through, it makes you realise that you must be doing something good when a TV company calls you and says, right, can you do this show or can you do that? You think, oh, so I must be doing okay if someone's spotted me for this. But in terms of the studio that I've got now, for the future, I think that tuition's definitely changing. I have half of my students on Skype now, and I teach people all over the world, and half in the studio. And it's the studio is getting less, and the Skype is getting more. So I think that one-to-one thing, I'm worried it might die out at some point, and I'm doing less of it. Because of the internet. The internet is taking over. And there are things you can do on Skype lessons that you can't do in person, and there are things you can do in person that you can't do on Skype.
So Skype,
But I do think in the future that the one-to-one face-to-face is dying out a little bit, and it's becoming more Skype-based. So it may be one day that the big studio that I've got now gets smaller and smaller.
yeah.
Well, I'll be doing everything online instead, which is why I thought ahead. Well, I tried to, and I created the online singing course because I knew that there was people all over the U all over the world that couldn't necessarily come and see me in the studio and work with me, but could still access what I did by doing the online course. That was before I started doing the Skype things. But yeah, that's a long way of answering your question.
Yeah, I believe, of course. I'm not disappointed about this answer at all, so don't worry about this. And if you don't mind, I will come back a little bit to this MTV and BBC journey, which you are working there. I believe it's a huge thing. Not every person who are teaching, not every person who are trying to get this kind of spot are successful. You do it. I believe it's very, very great thing. And please tell me what's in your mind from this perspective, because I suppose it's big TV shows. It's a great machine which barely can be reached by many other people or by many other channels. It's MTV and BBC, it's a huge companies. How you remember this time? It's something which you like transit from that memories to your studio, or you have some kind of feelings which comes with you through the years?
I think when I did the TV shows, it did feel like I'd made a name for myself, that I was successful. But I didn't really feel any different about the teaching because I'm a person who will treat everybody the same. So if you were, I don't know, Mariah Carey, I would still teach you in the same way as I would as, a normal person. I don't really look at anyone as, oh, well, they're really famous, so they're better than me. Well, no, that's just a job that they do. But it's still quite nice to have that, oh my God, they asked me to do MTV. It's not that glamorous, I must say. Most of the shows that you work on, there's a lot of sitting around, a lot of waiting around. And then when you do end up in the show, it'll only be a few minutes, a few seconds, a few minutes. And that could have taken 2, 3 days to film.
Yeah.
So it's not as glamorous as people think it is. But it's still nice to brush shoulders with some of the professionals as well.
Yeah, surely it is. And now, very tough question, a little bit connected to what I asked you before. Because you support a lot of people, young talent, kids, so you have our experience in this area. And you can surely be very proud of how many voices raise the bar, also because of your good advices and all the practices. So please tell me, is there any of your students or child, because you can also call them this way in some way, in some instance, who make you proud the most? Is there any person you think you are so proud when you are thinking, yes, I teach him, and because also of my knowledge and of my talents, he done very well later on?
I do have a few students, but they're not well known. They're not famous or anything like that. I'm proud of a young boy called Casper. He's actually his parents are from Poland, actually.
Oh.
They moved from Poland to the UK. I think it must be about, I'd say maybe 8 years ago now. Anyway, the reason I'm so proud of this young man is that he has stuck with me for 4 years. He's had singing lessons for that period of time, And the development over that time has been incredible. He really focuses everything that I tell him, he takes it in, takes it on board, and he works really hard. When you're working with professionals, you don't always get 4 years of your time with them. You like the TV shows that I did, you're maybe with them for 2 or 3 days and then that's it, it's another project. That's all you get. So students like Casper and those that stay with you for a long period of time is wonderful. And I know that students will get to a certain level and that's it, they'll move on to another teacher or they'll move on to college or whatever. I have a lot of young ladies who start with me when they're like 12. I get them
Wow.
until they're 16 and then they go to university or dance college or whatever, but they'll still come back and say hi every so often. And I feel like a proud mum, like, I did that. I helped them get into university. And I may not be working with them anymore, but I was a part of getting them to that point. So they got through their audition and they got into theatre school. And there's lots of people that are out there that I can say, oh, I worked with her. I mean, there's Bianca who's currently in musicals in the West End. She's gone on to do great things. I have Lily. She does cruise ships now, performing as a dancer and a singer. There's Holly Tandy. She did the UK X Factor
Oh,
show.
okay.
And so there's her, and there's so many people that I've, been able to work with for a length of time. And I think that's better than when you get 5 minutes with a person to spend years and give them every bit of knowledge that you have. Because Casper is now at a point where we've taught him singing at my studio, we've taught him piano, we've taught him, sorry, not piano, we've taught him guitar, and he's now doing drums. But he's also learned to produce music through the teachers that I have at the studio. So he's been helping me with recording, which is brilliant. That's how it should be, to get to a student to a point where they can go off into the industry and just do it for themselves. That's my job is done then.
Perfect, perfect. Great to hear that your job give you a satisfaction. It's
Yeah.
something that lots of people miss in their life, so it's absolutely phenomenal to hear that.
Yeah,
And
I
that's
have to work hard at it. I have to work. That's kind of the reason I have all the other lessons at the studio is to make sure
Sure.
that financially everything runs well.
Yep.
I have to really keep pushing at it. That's why I'm, at this time talking to you. I love what I do, so it doesn't really matter what time it is to me.
Great to hear. And as you imagine, it should be that moment of our conversation where I will start to ask you about your Eurovision Song Contest because of who I am and from where I come. So you're from United Kingdom, so I'm pretty sure that you have some stories connected with this show through your whole life. So please tell me, before starting your YouTube channel, become taking this career as you take, you are watching the show, performances, are you any way interested about the Eurovision at all?
I would say up until about 3 years ago, I wasn't that interested. That sounds awful, but I wasn't. Because I think I was more focused on pop music and musical theatre. And I was always aware of Eurovision and I would watch it every year, but I wouldn't get quite as involved as I do now. And what I found recently is when those songs are released from the different countries, I like to get involved then and you can see how the songs develop and I'm learning about the songs, what the song's about, and I'm also learning about traditions from different parts of the world as well, which I wouldn't have normally, been not interested, but not normally would have had access to. So yeah, it was probably only about 3 or 4 years ago that I dived into it in more detail. Before then, I used to watch it, but I didn't really know a lot about it other than lots of people from all over the world sang some songs. That was about it, really.
Okay, and I do my homework, hopefully. 19th December 2019, this is your first video reaction about Eurovision at all. I believe. It's Eugene Lights and Shadows performance from Kiev 2017. I believe that this choice comes also from your love and support to these girls, because you know them more time than the Eurovision topic itself, but also the request from your viewers, subscribers who are watching your channel from the beginning. You imagine half a year ago that your story with listening to the contest song will go that far like it's right now?
Oh no, I'd never have imagined that I'm where I am now from there. Because the YouTube channel started off as just a channel that I put my students on, so I gave them a springboard to show their friends and family what they were learning and what they were doing at the studio. And it was only when I did a reaction video to an ex-student of mine called Courtney Hadwin. She went on to get the Golden Buzzer and America's Got Talent. I think it might have been last year or the year before. And I did a reaction to that, and it just went, and my views and sort of popularity just soared from that point. And OG, yes, I'm a big fan. Their harmonies are extraordinary. I love the way that they have so much chemistry between the three of them. I know they're sisters, but the chemistry between them is wonderful. So yeah, there's quite a few videos that I've done on them. At the time when I was asked to do that song, I didn't know it was Eurovision. I just thought it was them, and that's why I did it. But yeah, I really enjoyed covering the Eurovision last year, and I didn't do all the songs last year. I probably only did maybe a handful, maybe five or six of the most, what people were saying were the most popular ones, because I just didn't know enough about how I wanted my YouTube channel to run. But this year, I really want to do more. But it's been so hard. The speed that the songs are released is crazy. I have a file on my computer which must have maybe 25 videos in it that I still haven't looked at yet because it's so fast. Ah, so I filmed today, I filmed quite a few more. One went out today, oh, well, two. Because I made a slight mistake on one of those. I was sure that Storm was the song, but it wasn't. It was Alcohol You, and I was like, oh, I thought Storm was better anyway. And then there's another one tomorrow. Tomorrow is Hasta la Vista, Hurricane, the girl group. I like it a lot, but I do think, I'm going to be honest, that's what I do. Vocals for the live performance. Yeah, they started off a little bit not so good, but as they picked the performance up, it was better. I think they wanted to go for dance, I get that, but I think maybe the dance was just a little bit too difficult to be able to sing everything as well. Maybe scale the dance back and have a bit of half and half rather than loads of dance and not being able to sing it. But anyway, that one's tomorrow, and I've got a right long list of others that I can't wait to see. And I would absolutely love someone to give me a ring and say, right, we have a seat for you at the final, but that hasn't happened yet. So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, for sure. And people like me, who are very into the Eurovision topic every year, we are doing live stream articles, we are discussed about the songs whole season throughout and in. We like to talk about performances also from the vocal standpoint. So we are very interested about it, especially when rehearsal started and all artists doing 10, 12, 15 times rehearsals in few days, which is very huge test for their talent, for their abilities. And from your knowledge and technical standpoint, how hard it is to maintain voice and sing well in that short period of time that many times? Is there any trick or good advice to make sure your voice will be alive after that marathon and going through the semifinals and final?
I find more experienced singers will handle it better because they've already built a little bit of stamina up. For example, there was, I think it might be is it Australia entry? She's particularly young, the clown outfit thing. And I don't think her voice is going to withstand the 12 performances because she's so young and inexperienced. But things you can do to help you get through a marathon like that is drink as much water as you possibly can because it helps keeps the vocal folds lubricated, so you've always got that moisture there. enough sleep will definitely help. And not letting the adrenaline take over, because that is a big thing. When you perform, that adrenaline kicks in and you want to go for it. You want to be massive. But that can often have a detriment on the technique and you're just shouting. And it's all gone a little bit. So, yeah, trying to keep the adrenaline down so that your technique is working is one of the many things to help, really.
Yeah, surely. And lots of times people are very negative about the Eurovision in the context of their voice, of how people are singing there. Some people are very vicious even, that some artists should never enter that huge event like Eurovision because of their vocal performances, because it's Eurovision song contest. So show is also important, but the music is first, as Duncan Norman said. But anyway, you, as you said, you are doing lots of Eurovision videos, which is absolutely cool and fine, and I'm really happy to see your perspective for many different songs, and I'm really interested about the Serbia, because I have never thought that you're gonna choose this one from the whole list, quite honestly, but it's really cool, really, really cool. So you've done a lot of reviews already, like a Polish song, which is really cool, and it's always great to hear. And please tell me, how do you rate whole show Eurovision from your experience, from the music aspects? Because as I said, lots of people are very negative, showing that this show is quirky, cheap, neat, contains no quality of music and all. I guess your point of view is much more different.
Yeah, I think there was a few years where it became the staging more than the quality of song. And that was a shame, because it's the song. It's not, you don't have to be the best singer in the world. It's about the song that you're trying to put out to the audience. And I do think that we lost ourselves a little bit. All these fireworks and all these different fancy stagings and the animations and all of that. Some of it's very clever. I'm not saying it's not, but it should be about the song, not all the fancy stuff. So I think that's why I liked the winner last year, because he just sat at the piano and it was the song and his emotional quality. It was fabulous. I mean, the Australian entry were on like these poles. But the fact was the song was good and her vocal performance was good.
Yeah.
So you have to sometimes take the stage in a way, and the song is key. That's it. Doesn't matter if you're on a pole. If the song's not any good, the song's not any good. I think we did lose ourselves a little bit, but we're definitely, after last year, we're definitely back on track. I think there's some that I've reviewed already that are looking for the dance side of things, and it's all about the dance beat.
Yeah.
That's nice and it's entertaining and that's great, but the songs don't necessarily have any soul. They don't have a genuine story that's coming through. It's more of a fun, this is nice, but not necessarily memorable. And I think that's why the song won last year again, because you could connect with the words. You felt what he was singing about. A boppy song is a boppy song for 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
A song with soul will stay.
Okay, so we are the members of the same group of Eurovision fans, I see. We're looking for very closely, very the same way about the whole thing. So I'm also a huge fan of Duncan from the beginning, and his winning after Netta won, it was phenomenal. It was kind of fresh air on the room after whole year. Okay, to the very end of our conversation, because it's so cool, it's so great, but I believe that you have lots of things to do still, people asking you and wants more Eurovision on your channel. Please tell me, you are from United Kingdom, so I believe you saw James Newman's song, we already see the video on the YouTube channel. Do you think that this song can go well? And a little adding question for this first one, if somebody would just call some way somehow in the future and say, Hello, Georgina. We are cooperating in BBC many years ago, but I think that you can help our representative to make his song better, to make his vocal better. You'll agree for that?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. Ring me. Absolutely, I'd love to do that. In terms of this UK entry, I'm not sure. I don't know if the song is strong enough. It's very nice, and I like the concept of breathing and life. I love that, but I don't think the lyrics are strong enough. I can't see it doing that well this year, I'm afraid. I think the vocal is good, and it's a nice concept, but it's not as memorable as some of the other entries. So, yeah, sorry, UK! but, yeah, I want to be honest, you know, and I'm not just going to say UK is amazing because I'm from the UK.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it like it is, and I think it's a nice song, but I don't think it's strong enough to win. I don't think it's strong enough to get into the top five, definitely not.
Hopefully not the last, like the last year.
Yeah, hopefully not the last.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that things have moved on a little bit, though, from the political sort of standpoint, because, yeah, that was also difficult to watch when you know that one country is going to vote for the other country and you think, ah, what happened? Yeah. It's not supposed to be about who likes who. It's supposed to be about the song. And I think that is disappearing now. I think it's definitely more about the song and not about, you know, one country liking another country.
Yeah, absolutely. Lots of job was done to make sure it's going to be the smaller piece of realistic situation that it can be. And hopefully it's going to work that way too in the future. Right now, what I can say, Georgina, thank you so much for your time. It was really great chat with you and conversation.
You're welcome. And if you'd like another interview closer to the final, I would love that.
I think it's a good idea, and people gonna give me this outcome and feedback. Yeah, we need to do it. We need to see it for sure. Thank you so much once again, and hope you're gonna have much more fun with the Eurovision videos very soon, because we are getting very close to the event. So I believe you're gonna have lots of more comments and requests. Can you do it this? Can you do it that? Can you watch this? Can you watch that? Can you rate that? And hope you're gonna have great fun, because this is all Eurovision is all about, and I believe it's gonna be okay for you. And thank you so much once again for your tips. It's really cool to see the Eurovision from your standpoint. Somebody who knows about teaching vocal, singing well, because most of us can't. So hopefully I won't come to you in the next years to just learn singing, because I will probably kill you with my talent. Even if you are really experienced. Thank you so much. And guys, thank you so much for watching us. This is the interview with the Honest Vocal Coach. 19.4 million views of videos, 105,000 subscribers. You need to watch it, this amazing lady. And thank you so much. We're going to see you soon with the next videos with people who are very close to Eurovision from completely different point of view than us. Goodbye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.